This is an unhealthy Bible reading. Jeremiah was at his wit's end. And translators are not willing to take this step. But Jeremiah called God a liar. When he says, "O Lord, you have enticed me," it's more conservative scholars want to say, what it really means is persuaded. It doesn't mean persuaded. It means seduced with the intent to do harm. I mean, it's nasty like that. You didn't tell me what this was going to be like. You overpowered me, and you told me that this is the way it was supposed to be. So Jeremiah called God a liar. And if he didn't call God a liar, at least, he called him a coercive, power-driven abuser. This is Jeremiah's description of what's going on with the relationship with he and God right here. And then he said, even though God had ruined him and folks all around him encouraged him to get away from this awful God, he couldn't do it. He had to stay and praise God, and everyone who told him to get away from God were just evildoers who didn't understand who God really was, and so they were going to be punished. And that's what Jeremiah asked. He asked God to get rid of, or at least punish severely, the ones who didn't like the way God treated Jeremiah. And that whole thing is messed up. I've heard preachers, Bible scholars look at this passage and say, look, the Word of God is like a fire burning inside you. You can't help but share it. But the description here isn't like that. We've got the fire burning inside of his bones, but we've got Jeremiah coerced into something that didn't work out, and he's upset about it. Maybe it's better, and I've heard people say, Jeremiah felt the call to tell about God's judgment. He didn't want to do it and didn't think anyone would listen, so he decided not to. But the overwhelming need to tell the people felt like a fire in his belly. And even though everyone around told him he was on a fool's errand, he knew that he had to follow God. He asked God to subdue the ones who were standing in his God's way. And then he went about praising the God who delivers the poor from the evildoers. That's usually the way you hear this done. But in today's hellfire and brimstone sermon, I don't think it's like that. I think Jeremiah is a victim here. So, the other way, maybe theologically sound, and you can take it, and you can wrap it up very nicely and say, see, this is who God is. It's all good, and Jeremiah just has to tell the word. And sometimes it doesn't go well because people don't listen. But I look at this, and I think that when we do that, we give a pass to what seems like an abusive situation, or dare I say it, an abusive God here. God overpowered, seduced, untruthfully enticed Jeremiah to do what God wanted. And Jeremiah did it even though it was ruining his life. And he dragged other people into it and ask God to wreck their lives because they saw abuse instead of a noble cause. I know at the end of the verse, he talks about praising God and says, God has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. But it gets worse if you keep reading in the passage. Here's what Jeremiah says in the next couple of verses. Cursed be the day on which I was born. The day when my mother bore me, let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, saying, a child is born to you, a son, making him very glad. Let that man be like the cities that the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon, because he did not kill me in the womb. So my mother would have been my grave and her womb forever great. Why did I come forth from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? You never told me it was going to be this horrible, God. So was Jeremiah just called to an overwhelming task to a people who wouldn't listen? Because there is an ongoing theme of that in the Bible. The whole God does something good, we mess up. God redeems, revives, rejuvenates. This story doesn't really fit that pattern, though. Isn't there a better way? Does a way of good, kindness, cooperation, reconciliation, and love have to be one that's filled with overwhelming hardship? Is it one of those follow the narrow path, even though it's the harder path kinds of things? Jesus talked about the narrow way. But, you know, early Christians, after the time of Jesus, and really this is present throughout the history of the Abrahamic religions, that there are two ways. One way is good, one way is evil. One brings life, one brings death. It doesn't always say that the way of death is easy and the way of life is hard, or that it's narrow. Just, there's a good way. Follow the good way. What if the way of good, kindness, cooperation, reconciliation, and love wasn't about following a narrow path, but instead one where everyone simply lived attending to one another? Are people just inherently bad and therefore incapable of doing good naturally? I have heard people say that that is it, and theologians that say that unless we acknowledge that we are seriously depraved, essentially, we have no hope. Unless we know that we are not good, then God doesn't step in. And I wonder if that's Jeremiah's experience here. The whole book of Jeremiah is not just him lamenting and saying, God, you're awful. There are other things in there, but this part is nasty. It's messed up. So what do you do now? You can take and read this and say, Kirk, you are full of it. And there's no way that that's what's going on in this Bible reading. Jeremiah is just having a hard time and he's depressed. And that's possible. But boy, he's describing what I see as something messed up, abusive. See, it's messed up. And it's the vision of a person who experienced torment, ridicule, and disdain for doing what they thought God wanted. Or is it messed up and God is a lying, seducing people hater? It's kind of the way Jeremiah describes God. Is it messed up even to ask those questions? Is it okay to ask questions like that? Because here we are a Christian church, and we have Jesus, and we have God who reconciles, who rejuvenates, who refreshes. Is it okay to even ask these kinds of questions, to make statements like that says it looks like God's an abuser here? And how does that sit? Is a hard life a sign of doing what God wants? Or is it a sign of doing what God doesn't want? It depends on which preacher you listen to, I guess. I hear people talk about Joel Osteen a lot, and I don't want to rap on every other preacher because that's not healthy. Joel likes to say things like, live your best life now, and if you are blessed, you must be doing something right, and here are ways to keep the blessings going because God wants to bless you with a good life. He says he's not a prosperity preacher, and I'm not sure if he fits neatly into that category, but he definitely says that God's blessing is a sign that you're doing something right. And the converse, if things aren't going right, there must be something missing. There must be something going on that you're not doing right, and God is not blessing you. Tell that to someone who lives every day having a hard time paying their bills, or someone who has been through a tragedy and doesn't have a house anymore. Jesus didn't work that way. Jesus not only took pity on people who didn't have enough, he was one of those people who didn't have enough. He cared for them and let them attend to him as he attended to them. I don't think Jesus bought into all of the drama, I guess you could call it. Jesus looked and said, how can I make things a little bit better? How can I affect the lives of people and make them a little bit better? How can I be more kind? How can I share a message that it's better to be more kind and loving? Sometimes I'll get angry and I'll throw some tables over. I know, and we want to bring that up all the time when we talk about Jesus and kindness and peacemaking. That wasn't his rule, though. Every person has a limit. Every person has a place where they get angry. But overwhelmingly, the witness of Jesus is that kindness and love and goodness matter, and they are the path to follow. So is a hard life a sign of doing what God wants or doing what God doesn't want? And when I think of the way some people preach about blessings and riches and everything, I get a fire burning in my belly, and it's not the same kind of one that Jeremiah is talking about. Prosperity isn't a sign of God's approval. For the most part, prosperity is a sign of living at the right place at the right time and making decent decisions. Not always. For some people, life is great. Love those people. For some people, life is horrible. Love those people. For most people, life is a mixture of great and horrible, along with lots in between. Love those people. Narrow way, persecution, wide path, easy life. We've got to stop thinking as if there's only one way to understand life, the universe, everything. And we've got to restart, or continue living as if every person mattered, as if love flowed freely among all the people. And there is no way that that would be not so good. Amen.